thank you, Lord Jesus, for the rest, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord. I love you. Hallelujah. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my oh, hallelujah. What you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We exalt thee, we exalt.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Did you come to exalt the Savior? Amen. You know he inhabits the praises of his people.
Amen.
And he has been mighty good to each and every one of us. Amen. He's worthy of all our praise, my brothers and sisters. Truly it's a blessing to be gathered together again in the house of the Lord. Pleasure to see everyone. Amen. Make their way out. Really brings joy to my heart. Amen. To see everyone again. Sometimes we go from one week to another. We don't get a chance to fellowship with one another. We don't get a chance to see one another. But one day that's all going to be over. We're going to fellowship constantly 24 hours a day. Amen. Around the throne of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Let us go before the throne. Most gracious God, we, Lord, count it a privilege and an honor, Lord. Thank you, Father, to have breath in our lungs while the blood yet run warm in our veins. Lord God, and be gathered here, Lord God, to, Lord, for this portion of the service, Lord, to lift our voices, lift our hearts, lift our hands, pat our feet, clap our hands, and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty hour, Father God, that you have allowed us to live in this day, Lord God. Lord, despite what's going on around us, Lord God, we're reminded the scriptures say that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. So, Father, we're going to be just like a surfer. We're going to ride the wave, Lord God. We come this morning, dear God, to just, Lord God, do whatever you want to do, Father God. Lord, we come as yielded vessels, oh, Father God. We come as needy people, oh, Father God. And, Lord God, we're reminded in the scripture that when we have a need of the Father, we just ask him. So, Lord God, we just ask you, Father God, to just meet every need individually, heart by heart. Lord God, as precious brother Quaker, who has so eloquently put it this morning, you are God of variety, Lord God. Lord, you can speak to one and speak to another on a different subject and speak to another on a different subject. Lord God, you can just split yourself up, Lord God, and just meet everybody at their need, oh, Father God. You're just that kind of God, Father. And Lord, we come, oh, God, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for keeping us and protecting us, oh, Father God. Thank you for keeping all of our brothers and sisters. Thank you for keeping our pastor, Lord God. Thank you for keeping our family members, oh, Father. Thank you, Father, for your provision, oh, Father God. Thank you for your mighty hand of protection, oh, Father God. Lord, you're worthy to be praised, Lord God. I'll spare not one praise, oh, Father God. You've been so good, oh, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God. We come and say, thank you, Father. Now, Lord God, we commit this service into your hands, oh, Father God. Do as you will, oh, Father God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Let the church say amen. The church say amen again. Let the church say amen again. Amen. The old folks used to say, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to lift him up. Amen. We may be few in number. Amen. But you got to just remember that you're only looking through those natural eyes. Amen. I believe there's angels standing around all of the walls. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. There's going to be shouting on the hills of glory. There's going to be shouting on the hill. Going to be shouting on the hills when we reach that land of which we tell the story. There's going to be shouting on the we be no more crying. No crying now. Oh, there'll be no, there'll be no more crying when we reach hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going soon and very soon. We are going. Wonderful day. Amen. Amen. It won't be long. Amen. Amen. We sang a song. It won't be long. Right. Amen. We can count the years as months, count the weeks as days, count the days as hours. Amen. Soon and very soon. Amen. We're going to see the kingdom. That's what we come here for. Amen. We come here to get ourselves prepared. Amen. This is the preparation grind. Amen. So speak through our hearts, dear Lord Jesus, because soon and very soon. Amen. Remember a message that was preached, the world is falling apart. Amen. This world can't sustain this kind of pressure much longer. Amen. Can't sustain this kind of pressure much longer, but God has already provided a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Amen. How many is looking forward to that great day? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's right. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. I don't know who's supposed to give us our special this morning. Huh? Stephen. Huh? Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, so we're going to read scripture then. Special. Stephen? No? Okay, God bless you, my sister. Amen. Turn to our Bibles. She was reminding me of the scripture. I thought she said Stephen was going to sing this morning. Maybe that's prophetic or something. I don't know. Maybe next week. Amen. How many love the Lord? Amen. We're going to very familiar scripture. Turn to the 23rd Psalms there. Amen. Shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. say praise God. Praise God. unchanging hand. Amen. Love the Lord.
Promise keeper. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. It never stops working. Amen, amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of God. Amen on today. Appreciated the service a little earlier and also appreciate being here. I believe God has more in store for us. Amen. We're just looking forward to all of that. I have a couple things that I wanted to read. And there's a couple cards that we just received, one card and one letter that someone sent here to our church. And I was just blessed by it, so just wanted to share it with the church because it was for the church. This says to dear Brother Jack, Sister Erica, and all the saints, I was enjoying a recording of Brother Capers when I decided it was time to send a note of appreciation. I'm always blessed anytime our congregations fellowship together, as well as by your Spirit and Truth Instagram. My prayer is that each and every one of you, each and every one of your family and congregation are healthy in body and spirit under the care of our precious Lord Jesus. I know that the rest of the body of Christ is remembering you all in Christian love. This is from Brother Ted and Sister Suzanne Doucette. Amen. Over on the West Coast there, just thinking about the times that we fellowship together, and they just felt impressed in their spirit just to write a little note of encouragement to the church, and amen. And I wrote them back just to let them know we also appreciate the time of fellowship, and COVID got to get up out of here because we want to be able to enjoy one another's presence like that again. So amen. But we certainly thank God for them. And this also another little note that I got from a sister in Georgia. It says, dear Brother Jack and saints, greetings to you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Sarah Toussaint, and I have been listening online via YouTube and Periscope. I have been so blessed by the stand that you all have taken and your middle of the road preaching. I've seen extremes in this message that can hinder one's walk with Christ. There is a sweet spirit that abides with you all. It's the Holy Spirit. As I pray, the Lord continues to bless you all and give you the desires of your hearts as you diligently seek him. I am a wife and mother that above all wants Christ in my home. My husband, Will, and I have two teenage boys and are trying to give them spiritual guidance, which ultimately starts with us. I want to thank you all for the uplifting and edifying services. I am enclosing a love offering to be used for the piano or keyboard that you all are purchasing. Amen. And the sister sent a scripture here, Jeremiah 17, and we'll just read that, Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, and just something to encourage us and strengthen us, and we just thank God again for someone thinking of us, amen, and watching online, and I just felt impressed to write the letter and then just send a love offering. That's just something that we really, really appreciate, amen, from the Toussaint family there in Georgia. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And I tell you, I think that is just a very appropriate scripture, especially for this season. I could go down a list of what I call the blessings of COVID-19. And just the way that I've seen the hand of the Lord move. Even, we were at a certain point in our giving for the piano. We just needed just a little bit more to make sure it was purchased. And we went, you know, pretty much everybody through the offerings that we're given. We purchased the piano through the offerings that we're given, not actually taken from our offering, but the offerings that we're given. And we're just a little bit away, and I come to church, and this was in the mail, and that pushed us right over the limit of where we wanted to be. Praise the Lord. So the keyboard is on order. I have a tracking number. Brother Quentin has ordered it, and it's supposed to arrive here next week. Amen. So we're looking forward to that. God is good. God is real good. That's just one of the blessings, amen, of COVID-19. But God got so many things that he's doing, and even, you know, like this scripture saying, even if it's a drought, we still bear fruit. Ain't that powerful? Even in the midst of the drought, we're still bearing fruit. Your business is bearing fruit in the midst of a drought, right? And some of us on our jobs, they had to let everybody else go, but they kept us for a reason. That's because in the midst of a drought, we're supposed to bear fruit. Come on, somebody. This is nothing but the hand of the Lord. And we certainly thank God for, amen, just all that he has done and all that he is doing. Praise the Lord. Let's give the announcements, amen, at this time, and then we will go forward in the service. I know we have a birthday coming on Friday. Sister Samaya, amen, will be celebrating a birthday, so we wish her a happy birthday. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that, giving her another year on this earth. Amen. Thank God. And also, so I know that we have the government has been releasing people to kind of get back to work and all of those things. And we're certainly happy that all that is happening. And maybe many are wondering, well, when are we going to get back? You say, we're certainly working on a plan. I didn't want to just kind of rush back into things. So I want to just handle things with wisdom. We're going to kind of keep doing what we've been doing, but you'll start seeing some slow changes. And I'll be communicating to you that one thing that I'm very happy about is that I know that there's been some saints that actually had to go to the hospital because they felt some symptoms, but those that I know that have been tested, have all their tests have come back negative. Amen. And I know that where the devil might have tried to bind somebody with this, God rebuked them, you know, for their sake. And I'm just believing that we're not going to have any outbreaks, and we're going to just continue to do what we have been doing to prevent that. I was talking to some of the mothers of the church this week, and like, I just want to make sure everything real good when y'all come on back in here, right? Because we know we want them all back in service, but we want to make sure it's all safe. So I'll be communicating with you, just letting you know what some of our next steps are. But we'll start making changes over the next couple of weeks. But for now, continue to do the virtual service on Wednesday, and that you can watch it via Periscope or via Facebook. Also, no services on Friday for right now. We'll let you know when that starts again. And Sunday service will continue with our 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. service. Amen. The way we have been for right now. As we get more information, we'll let you know more information. Those of you that are joining us online, amen, you can just continue to do what you have been doing. Follow us there on Periscope or on Facebook for either of the services. Also, we have a new church app that's going to be launched during this time. The app that we have was hosted by another company. They sold to somebody else, and now we have to move to a new platform. So we're asking that you please go and download the new church app. It's called The Church App. You go to your Play Store, and you get The Church App, and you can stay in touch. The new app allows us to actually communicate to everybody through the app. Right, so y'all don't have to have another WhatsApp group, right? We can just amen. But we can actually just send a quick something out to the whole church. And if you don't have the app and you don't get the announcement, you can't blame it on Brother Jack, right? So I'm encouraging you, please get the app. This is going to be a very easy way for us all to communicate. And this is really for the saints here at Spirit and Truth. So just go to your app store and download The Church App and put in Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, and you'll be able to get the new app. We'll be transitioning soon on that. So in regards to giving, amen, just wanted to let everyone know that You have the option online to give either via Cash App or through PayPal. Cash App is very simple. You see the instructions there on the bottom. If you have Cash App, use, amen, Spirit and Truth T for Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, but use Spirit and Truth T as the person that you're sending your offering to. And if you want, to use PayPal, we ask that you use the option that says send to a family or friend, and make sure you use the address of giving@john423.org. giving@john423.org. That will allow you to give online. Those that are inside the sanctuary, we have the box there on the table, the wooden box that you can put your offering in, amen, as you come in or as you leave, amen, today. So let's just pray over our time of giving, amen, and we will go further. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. Lord, these encouraging words that we got from saints from different places, Lord, just encouraging us, encouraging the ministry. God, we just appreciate that. The words of encouragement, the love offering that's given, Father, for what we were trying to do with the keyboard. And God, you have provided another need in this church. In the midst of this time, we're flourishing. God, where some are not able to flourish, some are shutting down, their doors are closed. But God, you've allowed us to flourish even now during COVID-19. And we're grateful, Father, for your promises that have been given to us. Thank you for your saints that have been able to continue to give. You've been able to give them work. And Lord, bless their businesses, bless their jobs. You've done so much. They've been able to continue to give. And Lord, as they give, the work of the Lord continues to go forward. So Lord, we pray your blessings upon our giving, and that you would continue to rebuke the devourer for our sake, as you said in your word. And God, we're under expectation and thanking you in advance for the new church and the new school that you'll bless us with. We're believing you for that. So God, we pray that you would use this for the furtherance of your kingdom, and you get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise from our giving today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Rachel. Amen. I certainly appreciate the musicians. The Sister Rachel and Sister Rebecca have been switching on and off each week and just carrying the service, and we thank God for them doing so. God is good. God is real good. I didn't get the card, but Brother Jerry had told me our precious brother was going to be coming to visit. God bless you. Good to have you with us. Amen on today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning, family, amen, had come this morning, and the whole family. The first few weeks ago, Brother Diggs was here. Just the husband and wife came, and Brother Leo and Sister Tatiana, amen. And this morning they brought their children, their three kids, two sons and a daughter, I believe. And when they came, the daughter had already been watching the services online. She said she could feel the Spirit of God, you know, just watching online. So she wanted to come this morning, and she came, and she said, I felt the presence of the Lord here again this morning. And one of the questions that her son had in his mind, he told his mama, you know, something that he had in his mind, and come right into the service, and Brother Kwaku preached what he told his mama. So the mama said, I just felt that was a confirmation. I think we need to make this our church home. So I thank God for that. I thank God for that. And it's not many churches that are growing during COVID-19. They're actually losing members. But this is why I say that scripture is very appropriate that the sister sent us, right? You know, in a time of a drought, here we're still yielding fruit. God is good. I'm have to get a sermon developed on the blessings of COVID-19. I'm a have to develop that, you know. But I just see God, and everything that's happened, I see God, and I know He's at work, and you know He's just moving in a mighty way, and we just want to give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Praise the Lord. Let us, amen, stand to our feet. We will read a scripture, amen, and I just ask that you all would just pray for us today. I want to kind of go back into our thought on rejecting the revealed word in your day. This is part two of that sermon. There is a lot that can be said, and I just want the Lord just to say what he won't say, amen, today. So I want to read here from 1 Kings 19. Amen. 1 Kings 19, and I'll just start reading at verse 8, and we'll go from there. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Amen. What doest thou here? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So here is a prophet of God running from, you know, a situation that has just occurred, and he's on the run. Now that just don't seem right for some reason. A prophet of God with thus saith the Lord running. Think about that, right? Think about that. And I think one of the things that we need to get from this, because the scripture tells us that Elijah was a man of like passions, right? There are times in our life where we're going to stand up and we're going to speak the word. We're going to drive out some devils. But it might be some other times we take off running. Hello, somebody. Amen. And the reason that you need to know that that happens is because the only time you speak the word is when the anointing is on you. Amen. It's the anointing that destroys the yokes. You don't do nothing in yourself. You a coward. Amen. We all cowards, scaredy cats. Without the anointing, we're nothing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We depend on that anointing. So it says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Behold, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Now, I think that's very important, especially the quote that we read to set this up. God called his prophet to the wilderness, right? And I didn't get that last time, but God called his prophet to the wilderness. Oh, my. Let's watch some of these things here. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Amen. You know, he said, and the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Some people don't want to kiss the devil. Praise the Lord. Thank God you got folk that ain't got them type of desires that want to kiss the devil. My God. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord that has been read. As we go a little deeper in our thought today, we pray the Holy Spirit would take control of this time of the service, be glorified and magnified in our midst. Speak to every heart, not just those that are sitting present, but those that are joining online. Bless us, Lord, as we endeavor to take upon this thought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Again, we're looking at rejecting the revealed word for your day, in your day. This is part two as we talked about this. And this is important to me. The title's not rejecting the word, right? There's a lot of people that, you know, they don't want nothing to do with God or something like that. I was talking to a man yesterday how he was just saying he told some folk one time, I don't want to talk about Jesus. I don't even talk to me about that. I'm not even interested in that. But as God began to deal with his heart over time, he became converted, you know. And we thank God for testimonies of that nature. But we're talking about the revealed word in your day. And I want to be very clear, you know, that everybody that comes to the earth, everybody is born for a certain time, a certain season. God brings us here. And we're all just like Brother Quaker was telling us, we're all eternal thoughts of God that were in God's mind. We were just as real in his mind as we are sitting here right now today. And, you know, and he was saying how, you know, we brothers, you know, and they say, you know, you get married to one wife and you stay married to that one wife. He say, now back in David's day, you could have had 500 wives, or back in Solomon's day, you could have had 1,000 wives, as long as you could take care of them. Say, but we're not living in that day anymore. So if you had a spirit like that, you should have been born back then. Praise the Lord. So if you got that spirit, pray that God will deliver you from it, because he wants you to stay married to the one that you got and be faithful to the one that you got. Praise the Lord. Amen. Faithful to your vow. All right. Amen. But in every day, in every time, every generation has had an opportunity to receive the word for their day. From the days of Adam, they had the opportunity to receive the revealed word for their day. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, we started off and just kind of showing how the first sin was actually unbelief or rejecting the revealed word of God. The word of God said, don't eat from this tree. It was not a mystery. Amen. It wasn't something so deep and so mysterious that, you know, that Eve couldn't understand it. It was very clear. Don't do this. Amen. And if you want to live eternally, if you want to have life, don't do this. They only had one commandment, if I can put it that way. One commandment to keep, and Eve couldn't keep it. Amen. Eve couldn't keep it. Not only because she couldn't keep it, but when she partook of this fruit, then she introduced Adam to this act. My God, my God. She introduced Adam to the act. And when Adam, amen, the Bible says that he willfully did it. Amen. Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Adam willfully did this because he knew that God was going to destroy. She was going to die when she partook of that. So, look, if you're going to die, I love you that much that I'm going to die right alongside you. Hallelujah. That's the way Adam was. It was really just an expression of God that was actually coming out of Adam at the time of the fall. Hallelujah. Because God knew himself that he would leave his throne in glory and coming down across for a people that he knew had no chance of living. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank God for this. But when we look at this, they had the opportunity to receive the revealed truth for their day, the revealed word for their day, but they made a decision. They made a choice where they walked away from that. Even Cain was given an opportunity to walk in the revealed truth for his day. God came to Cain himself.
Think about that. There's many people that would love to hear the voice of God just one time in their life. I mean, oftentimes, you know, we hear God's voice through other people. We hear God's voice through other things. Maybe listen to the radio and somebody say something on the radio. You just heard the voice of God. It speaks to your situation. Come in the church, a preacher preaches something. And when the preacher says something, it just speaks to your situation. You hear the voice of God. But in this particular circumstance, God came himself and talked to Cain, gave him the revealed truth for that day. Offer me this type of sacrifice. Cain rejected it. Now, you know, I made a comment. The spirit to reject the revealed word passed from Eve to her son, Cain. Hallelujah. Because Cain was not Adam's son, but Cain was Eve's son. That's why the Bible records that Eve was the mother of all living, but it did not say that Adam was the father of all living. Cain came from a different experience. It was an experience with the serpent who did walk on two feet at that time, but he's been cursed since that event, and now he's on his belly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here, you know, I was looking at this. The spirit to reject the revealed word passed from Eve to her son Cain. And we see it clearly, amen, and Cain rejecting the word as God came to him and said, look, you know, if you just give me the same sacrifice that your brother Abel has given me, I will accept it. But the problem was it just was not in Cain to do it. I want to tell you something. There are some people that you're going to be working with and working with and working with, and it's just not in them to accept this truth. Ooh. All right, all right, all right, all right. You got to know who you're working with. And sometimes when you're working with a spirit, amen, I don't care how much you explain. And I'm going to tell you another thing about a spirit. A spirit is not even impressed by the supernatural. A spirit. Now, I'm going to share with you why. We read the scripture. Of Elijah being in a cave. What doest thou here, Elijah? The reason Elijah's in this cave is because a chapter before, Elijah just called down fire from heaven, destroyed a man. Here God come down and consume the altar, but then Elijah destroyed them false prophets. Hallelujah. Now the people agreed that the God that answers by fire, we gonna let him be God. They agreed to it. But here, after this great event, Ahab was there, and he saw fire come down and consume the altar. Then he saw Elijah take them prophets down there and slay every one of them. Get this false teaching out of, amen, out from amongst the people. He stopped these prophets by himself. But Ahab went home, and he told his wife Jezebel what had just happened. And you know what happened? Jezebel said, you know what? By this time tomorrow, I'm going to have Elijah's head. And for he went from being totally anointed and slaying 400 or 450 men or something like that, slaying all these prophets, to running from one woman. Think about that. And didn't even try to stand up to her. Took off running, ended up in a cave. But here's what we find out. After that mighty move of the Spirit, after the supernatural had come down, the people still did not change. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to understand that it's got to be more than the supernatural to get people's attention today. There's got to be something on the inside that can identify with God. They had to come from God and got to be going back to God. That's why I say, look, when we're looking for a church, we're not just looking for any church. I'm looking for people that came from God and on their way back to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't want to just settle in any church. Amen. I people that know who they are in Christ. Amen. That's who I want to fellowship with. Amen. So now, you know, let's look at a couple things here. I want to just take a little time and read a little bit. I brought out this point. The spirit to reject the revealed word passed from Eve to her son Cain. And we see it clearly in Cain rejecting the word, but I want to bring in another scripture if I can, because that spirit to reject the word, people of every age gets an opportunity to receive the word. Now I talked about, amen, Noah's day, they had an opportunity to receive the revealed word, right? And Moses' day, applying the blood, they had the opportunity to receive the revealed word. In John the Baptist's day, they had the opportunity, amen, to receive the revealed word as it was coming through John the Baptist. In Paul's day, they had the opportunity to receive the revealed word. In Irenaeus and Martin and Columba, Luther, Wesley, all the way down to this day, people have had the opportunity to receive the revealed word as it's coming through the person that God selected to reveal it through. Now look at this. Look at this. We want to kind of go back to the days of Jesus because they rejected the word in Jesus' day. Now I want to read a quote here. Praise the Lord. Actually, I want to read a scripture. Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Now, this verses that I'm reading, Brother Branham, you know, in the 70 weeks of Daniel, he refers to this portion of scripture as a most vital sin from the children of Israel. This was a very vital sin that they committed here when they rejected the word. Glory to God. This was very vital. Glory, hallelujah. My, amen, there's much that could be said there because you would think that it was so vital that they wouldn't have an opportunity to come back around and accept truth. But, you know, actually their eyes were closed intentionally by God so that we could actually accept truth. Amen. Glory to God. But I want to tell you that, you know, at the same way the gospel began to move away from the children of Israel and now it's come to the Gentiles, well, there's also going to be another switch where it's going to move from the Gentiles and then go right back to the Jews and they're going to recognize who Christ is. And I want to tell you that we're living in that time right now. Amen. Right now. Right now. Now look at this. Matthew 27. Let's start at verse 15. Praise the Lord. This was a very vital move in Israel's history. Amen. They were rejecting the revealed word for their day. Now the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Amen. I was told this, that, you know, Barabbas' other name, his full name was Jesus Barabbas, right? Jesus Barabbas and Jesus the Christ. Amen. So when they select Jesus Barabbas, they actually chose the wrong Jesus.
Right.
They took the wrong Jesus.
Right.
Amen. And I want to tell you that there's many in denominational churches today taking the wrong Jesus.
Right.
Woo, glory to God. Amen. You got to be able to see that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't take the Jesus of history. Take the Jesus that's living and proving himself even right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this. It says, verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Glory. And it goes on and says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now here God have to use the leader's wife to give her a dream and try to warn him, and he's not even coming to these people. He's coming to the Jews, and they're rejecting him. Now look, it goes on. Say, but the chief priests, amen, and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Oh God, I told you it comes from the church. Amen, it comes from the pulpit. The deception comes from the pulpit. Watch, it says, the governor answered, and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Now it goes on, and the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now, Brother Branham tells us that, you know, this was a prophecy that they kind of brought upon themselves. And from that time when they made that proclamation, amen, all the way down to even today where the Jewish people are, I mean, people come against them for no reason at all. But if because of their rejection of Christ, they rejected the revealed word for their day, and it produced problems. If I could put it this way, a plague set in. Amen. A plague set in. A plague. Death set in. Even from what happened with the Holocaust. Amen. And all is a plague. It's let his blood be on us and upon our children. But there's coming a day where he will reveal himself to his people again. Amen. Glory to God. Now, why? Why did the people get to a spot like this? Why? What brought them to this place where, you know, they wanna kill or crucify the word? But what is it? What does this to people? You know, even to this day, oh my. You know, I'm just reading a little article, amen, and the fellow was just talking about how certain things go on in message churches, and he took some information to, you know, to a news article, and the news people say, y'all need to watch them people that follow William Branham's teaching. Now, the stuff that they was writing in the article, we don't support that. We don't agree with that. If somebody commits sin, amen, that sin need to be dealt with. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We just don't promote sin around here. Amen. But somebody got into a little something, and maybe it was abuse or something like that. And they say how the preacher was promoting this. No. We don't promote that around here. Right. Amen. Glory to God. You know, but what I found is that a lot of people that are turning from the message is because somewhere, somehow, they were hurt. Yes. Mm-hmm. They were hurt by something. Amen. And through that hurt, they were not able to overcome it. So they begin to turn and they say the message is wrong because of some hurt. Amen. Maybe your daddy treated you wrong. That don't mean the message wrong. Maybe your mama treated you wrong. That don't mean the message wrong. Hallelujah. Maybe even your pastor treated you wrong. That don't mean the message is wrong. Hallelujah, somebody. You got to be able to overcome those things. Even Jesus said, in this world, we will have offenses. Amen. Glory to God. But, you know, these people, amen, and it really wasn't the people. The people were blessed, but they were under the influence of the leadership of that day. The leadership had been hurt. Can I put it that way? The leadership of that day was hurt. Where did they get hurt? Where did they get hurt? Let's look at this. Pharisees and Sadducees, they got hurt. Let's look at a couple scriptures. Y'all just bear with me here. Oh, my. Let's go to John 8. Amen. John 8. Hallelujah. These people were hurt. Glory to God. And through this hurt, they just had this ministry to go against the revealed word for that day. They were hurt. I mean, man, something rubbed them the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. And I ain't going to sit down and take it like that. Praise the Lord. This is what's really underneath this. Now watch this. I mean, if I went back to even Jezebel, she was hurt. Her preachers were dead. Now, don't forget, she had already been killing the other prophets, God's prophets. Now, when her preacher's dead, she can't take it. I'm gonna get Elijah. But God had to call Elijah into the wilderness. Lord, if I can just get around to that. I pray God will help me to get around. Oh, my. Lord, help me. Let's look at this hurt here for a second. John 8. Now, let's look at verse 36. And it says this, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Oh my, look at this. It says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Now, let's watch this. Let's watch this real close. Amen. It says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Oh, Lord Jesus, God help us. You would do the works of Abraham. Amen. Verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. He says, ye do the deeds of your father. Now, see, this is messing with them. Because they can trace their genealogies. They can trace their lineages. They know that Abraham was their father. But watch what Jesus speaks to these men. I say out of hurt. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Out of hurt, they begin to persuade and dissuade the people to turn on Christ. Out of hurt, people begin to turn against the revealed word for their day. It's out of hurt that we do this. Amen. Ooh, God wants to heal everywhere you're hurt. Amen. Oh, God can heal it. Look at this. Look at this. Let's keep going. It says, you knew the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we were not born of fornication. Now they're trying to, you know, now they talk about Jesus' birth. Right? I mean, we weren't born like you was born. We can trace our lineage and this story that you done come up with, you know, that a virgin shall conceive. We still waiting on that to be manifested. They couldn't see that it was already manifested in the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. They couldn't see that was manifested. We be not born of fornication. Look at it. Look at it. Amen. We have one Father. Even God. It goes on and says, Jesus said unto him, if God were your father, hallelujah. See, I believe the miracles that he performed gave him the ability to have a voice in the midst of this congregation. Hallelujah. It was the supernatural that actually gave him a voice. It's the supernatural today that will give us a voice to speak what we're speaking. All right, stay with me, church. Look at this. It says, Jesus said to him, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Look at this. Even because ye cannot hear my word, ye are of your father. Now he kept saying, you know, your father's a little different from my father. Now look at what he said, and not because I'm claiming that I'm coming from God. You say you're coming from Abraham. You say no, but ye are of your father, the devil. I like that statement because the spirit to reject the revealed word passed from Eve to her son Cain. We saw it clearly in Cain rejecting the word, but now the spirit that was in Cain to reject the revealed word of God was also found in the religious leaders during the days of Jesus.
Yeah.
So if it was found amongst the religious leaders in the days of Jesus, where you think it's going to be found today?
Yeah.
Hallelujah! We on the trail of a devil!
Amen.
Praise God. And this devil gets started through hurt. Oh, church, I hope you with me. If you talk to people long enough, you'll find out there was some hurt there.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And here we're going to see these Sadducees and Pharisees, men with long robes and phylacteries, and they were respected amongst the people. But now you got somebody coming and calling them out. Not only that, telling you all of your father, the devil. Look at that. You have your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Y'all liars? Your daddy's a liar? Oh, my, this hurt somebody. Man, I can prove my lineage, and you telling me I come from the devil? Well, watch your actions.
Yeah.
Right? Your actions prove who your daddy is. Because it was the religious leaders that came up with the plot. Tell the governor that you want Barabbas, but crucify, kill Jesus. It showed that they came from their father, the devil. How did they get there, though? Hurt. How people come to a spot of rejecting the word today? Hurt. Hallelujah. And that's the thing. That's why I'm bringing out the children of Israel here. And this was a vital thing that they did. But the grace of God is going right back to them. This is just like, if I could put it this way, it's like a play that's being played out. But it's the grace of God is going right back to them to get them. So there are some people, I believe, today that's been hurt, that God's still going to go right back around and bring them right back in. I say the mysterious hands of Jehovah will untie the knots. And it'll settle people's spirit. Glory. I'm going to tell you something. That's what it's going to take. The supernatural not going to settle them. Because I've heard people say, I remember, you know, some people said, man, ain't no supernatural things happening in the message. None. And they were leaving over that. And then God gave us powerful demonstration of the supernatural when we saw the picture in Sister Tanya's head of this growth. A picture before and after. Here, the picture in her head showed a growth, and then right after, after the prayer, going to Brother Nathan's church up there in New Albany, and we had church and just prayed a simple prayer, came back home on an airplane, getting ready to go for a surgery on a Tuesday. We come home on a Monday, she going for a surgery on a Tuesday, and when she wake up, it's not there. And took a picture before and after. That was God's supernatural hand touching her before the doctor could touch her. And we began to share the testimony. Did it stop the people from going to do what they were doing? They were complaining it was no supernatural. Their God did the supernatural, and they still didn't turn around. Oh, it's just like what happened with Elijah. Just like what happened in Elijah's day. But I believe God is able to turn them back around. I believe that. It's going to take more than that. We're going to have an identification of who we are in Christ. Now, let me just read a little something here if I can. Oh, my goodness. Hurt did this. Hurt. That's a. Let's read from this message, the God of this evil age. The God of this evil age. Let's read from there. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. It says, now we see that the church refused to accept God's word to rule over them and accepted Barabbas instead. Now, if you want the scripture on that, it's Matthew 27:15-23. What did this do? What position did this do? Now, think of it. When the church world, in its organized life of righteous, holy men, as they thought they were and were in the eyes of the people, they crucified Jesus and said, we'll not have this man rule over us. It says, we'll not have this word of God to rule over us. And if I could just inject there, we'll leave that quote there for a second. There's many people, the reason they actually leave the message, because they don't want the word to rule over them. They call themselves actually having freedom. You can't get liberated from the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The gospel, it's the gospel itself that actually gives you freedom. But to turn and walk away from the gospel and reject the commandments of God, that's not liberation. That's bondage. Praise God. It's only when you come to know Jesus that you know freedom. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Look at this. Glory. Will not have this man rule over us. And Jesus was the fullness of the word of God. 1 John 1 expresses it. And they said, we're blinded to what he was. And they said, "Will not have this word of God rule over us?" Yet he was the word, but their eyes were blinded to what he was, for he was the direct answer to every prophecy that was to come to pass in him. Now we all believe that because we're looking back to see it happen. But if the world would, that is now, this present evil age that would have been back there at that time, they would do the same thing they're doing today because it's still the same word for this age being manifested. So really, you know, we can look at the history of Scripture and say, man, I would have been standing up for Jesus. I would have been on his side. But, you know, your actions today actually demonstrate what you would have done even in that day. If you rejected it for this day, you would have rejected it back then. You would have been right with the crowd. You're crucifying. Even Pilate yelling out, "What has he done?" They couldn't. A man that was not even sent to Pilate, he came to his own. They rejected him. His own received him not. I mean, here the gospel has been brought to the Gentiles through a prophet in this day. Came to his own. They rejected him. Hallelujah. God called him off the scene. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. He says, he'll do it. They can do nothing else. They are children of disobedience, given a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. Now, let's keep going. Notice, when the church world would not accept Jesus, the word manifested of that day, because why? They had it interpreted another way. But they ought to have known that he was the word, because everything that God said he would do, he did it. And he said to them, "Search the scriptures for this hour, and if I do not meet the qualifications that was spoke for me to do, then don't believe me." They said, "We believe Moses." He says, "If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me." Can I just borrow the words of Jesus and bring it right back to today? If you really believed Moses, you would have believed Brother Branham. Oh, come on, somebody. If you really believed John the Baptist, you would have believed Brother Branham. If you believed Daniel, you would have believed Brother Branham. If you believe Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets of the Old Testament, you would have believed God sending you William Marion Branham. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Church, we're in a vision. This is a year of vision. And as I'm trying to bring out certain quotes so we can see where we stand, you know, glory to God. Don't reject the word in this day. The word that God sent you, let me just finish this quote. The word that God sent you, you can search it in Scripture. You can search it in Scripture. I don't believe this message just because. I found it in Scripture. Hallelujah. Malachi 4 speaks about it. Revelation 10 speaks about it. St. Luke 17 speaks about it. Revelation 3 speaks about it. It's all over the Scripture. Amen. Look at this. Look at this. He said, if you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me. For Moses spoke of me, and still they didn't see it. Oh, my. Yeah, and I can tell you, Moses spoke of Brother Branham's ministry. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise a prophet like unto me." Yes, that applied to Jesus, yes, but Scripture has compound meanings,
amen.
Dual meanings. Yeah. Glory to God. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed William Marion Branham. Woo, let me go on a little further. It says, the very God of heaven died on the cross. I'm sorry. And he said, if you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses spoke of me, and they still didn't see it. The very God of heaven dying on the cross and saying the same words the prophet said he would say, and still they didn't see it. See, they were not of his kind. This is important. They were not of his kind. They were not the word. So when we talk about of his kind, we're not talking about a particular race or ethnic background. Hallelujah. We're going beyond your ethnic background here at Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Glory to God. We passed that. Amen. I mean, other churches are going to stop at your ethnicity. Uh-huh. Amen. But we want to go past your ethnicity. Amen. We want to see, amen, can you identify with this theophany that the brother was talking about, amen, this morning? Amen. Where's your theophany? I mean, if you got a theophany, it had to come from God, and it must go back to God. So that's what we talk about. It's not, I mean, it's just the color of our skin is just what God chose to veil, amen, his son in. But it ain't got nothing to do with who we are. The reason that we can fellowship with one another and not have no isms amongst us is because we know where we come from.
Amen.
They were not of his kind. They were not the word. You have to have a word body, a theophany. They was not the word, not the word, and they were very religious, but they was not the word. It would have recognized its place for that hour. If they were the word, they would have recognized their place for the hour. Can I put it this way? If you are the word today, then you're going to recognize your place for the hour in which you live. Glory to God. Man, they was upset with Jesus. They rejected him. I got another scripture I want to just give you here. John 6. This is another one where they really just got upset. This is another thing about just I can't read all this, but I'll just share this with you. In this scripture, there's three types of believers: the make believer, the unbeliever, the true believer. And in this group, Jesus makes a statement that just really messed the Pharisees and Sadducees up. He made a statement in John 6:51, you know, because they were talking about how their fathers ate bread in the wilderness. And here Jesus was the one providing the bread for them to eat in the wilderness. And he said, our fathers ate bread and they did this. And Jesus come along and he give them something that just hurt their feelings. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, oh, good God Almighty, if I can just bring it. No, you just can't go eating what the denominational churches are teaching. You got to eat this bread. Come on, somebody. Amen. And oh, hallelujah. Jesus wasn't worried about their feelings. Jesus won't worry about, well, what you trying to say, Jesus? You saying we can't make it to heaven if we don't eat your bread? Yes, that's what he was trying to say. Yeah, that's exactly, you got it. You got to eat this bread. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Amen. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, Jesus spoke words like that. Now, this was a sermon that was never heard before. Mm-hmm. People going to church and the man is, you know, I know this man is, he healing the sick. The blinded eyes are coming open. I mean, the deaf are hearing. People being raised from the dead. There's something powerful about this man's ministry. And now he preaches a sermon that says, eat him. Mm-hmm. See, the natural mind could not comprehend. And because they couldn't comprehend, they say this is hard. Say that one of them said, "Now see, I told y'all this man was off. Look at him. He's a cannibal. He wants us to eat him. Something wrong with this fellow." Yeah, I tell y'all what, y'all better leave this guy alone. They begin to persuade the people and they took off. One group just, "Nah, we ain't gotta listen to this. We're gonna kill this man before he kill us." Another group that was actually ordained. Lord help us, Jesus. Another group of 70 men that was ordained by Jesus. Can I put it this way? They were ordained in the message and left the message. Is that all right? Because that's what happened. They were ordained in the message and left the message. Not only ordained, experienced the supernatural, but the supernatural couldn't keep them. See, you got to be of his kind. You got to be word. Right? So the 70 left. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can take it?" And Jesus just watched them walk out, shook their hand as they walked outside. "God bless you. Thank you for coming to church." Didn't even call them to invite them to come back again. Can y'all imagine this? I'm talking about Jesus. And he said, then he got back in church. It was 12 people left in the church. He just had hundreds, got down to 12. Brother Branham said his congregation was too big. So God had to shake the congregation down. got it down to 12, and when he got down to 12, looked at them and said, will you also go? Now, what a statement. The church just got shook up, and you come in and preach, will you also go? Oh, Peter, and I can just, the moment of maybe a half hour of silence was in the church. What are we supposed to do? Peter just raised up. He always got something to say. Whether it's good or bad, Peter going to have something to say. Peter rolled up and said, we ain't going nowhere. Only you got the words of eternal life, and we stand right here. Now, Peter couldn't explain, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Peter couldn't explain that. I want to tell y'all something. You ain't got to explain to people what you believe. Peter couldn't explain it, but Peter said, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here. Only you got the words of eternal life. Look, and I'm saying, look, I done tried the Baptist. I done tried the Pentecost. I done seen what it produced. This message has brought to me what I'm looking for. I ain't looking for nothing else. I ain't looking for nothing else. Glory to God. Only you got the words of eternal life. Jesus said, well, appreciate that, Peter, but you know what? There's still a devil in our midst. I chose y'all 12, and there's still a devil right here in our midst. Glory to God. Now they're trying to figure out of 12 who the devil. Amen. He didn't even reveal it. Thank God for that. I want to just read another little quote here. This is out of the harvest time. Amen. These are things that caused them to reject the word. They were just hurt. Their feelings got hurt by the word. They got hurt. And if the word is hurting your feelings, you got to check yourself. The word shouldn't hurt you. The word should help you. All right. Look at this. The harvest time. He says this and all these other things. He had begun to say, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, what do you think a doctor would have thought sitting in there? What do you think any man would just come and thinking, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood? They said, this man is a vampire, not a minister. Stay away from that man. He is a crazy. Stay away from him. But it was the truth. See, it was the truth. Except you eat it, you'll perish. You'll all die if you don't eat it. That's the same thing today. The bread and the wine is only a symbol. So when Jesus was saying, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he was talking in a symbol form. The unconverted mind would have thought he was a vampire or something. But if you had a spiritual reality, if you came from God, you realize it was something spiritual that was being said. Look at this. That's the same thing. The bread and the wine is only a symbol. Don't let that natural thing get you down. You've got to eat Christ, which is the word that you live by. Every word that proceedeth the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So when he said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he said, and I'm the bread of life. He had something to sustain the people. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, which is something that sustains, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What you're supposed to eat is the revealed word in your day. If you want to live, you're going to have to eat this revealed word. Amen. I thank God for this. I thank God for this. Now, let's look at another little something here. This is out of the message, the voice of the sign. Let me see. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No, actually, let's not go there. Let me go back to our Pergamene church age and just kind of read a couple quotes from here. This is where we've been getting our thought. We have been in this journey of stepping to the vision and just using different statements from the angel's message to us. He told a prophet to pick up your pen and write. Brother Branham picked up his pen and wrote a message for us, and I'm picking up this and just trying to bring it to the church so we can step into this vision that God got for us, amen, in this year. Glory to God. Now, look at this. I'm going to start here at paragraph, that's good. It says, It says, now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb, because our promised land is coming in sight, even as theirs did. Now, Joshua means Jehovah's Savior, and he represents the end time leader that will come. to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader. Caleb represents those that stayed true with Joshua. So that's us. He's talking about us now. You know, we're the Calebs that stand true with the Joshua that came in this day. Amen. Remember, God had started Israel as a virgin with his word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Notice how God did not move Israel. I can tell you one of the things that some people want when they leave the message, they want a title. Amen. You never recognize me as this. Is that what it took to keep you in the message? Let's just write this down on a sheet of paper. What title you want? We'll hang it in your car. Amen. We'll hang it at your house. You are who you want to be. We'll make you that. Amen. What good is it if man make you that and God has not made you that?
Amen.
That's all it is a title.
Right.
You ain't no actions to it. I mean, somebody claimed to be an apostle. Do you realize what an apostle is? But they want that title. They hear, oh, bishop, apostle, you know, whatever the title that somebody gets. And an apostle is a person that establishes churches and then leaves and goes to establish another church. They move from city to city, state to state, country to country, establishing churches. That is a real apostle. You ain't started one church. But you want us to call you apostle. Not me. Go out there to the denominations. They'll give you that title.
Yep.
If that's what you're looking for, they'll give it to you. Hallelujah. But when I call you, when I talk to you, just know what I'm going to call you, brother.
Amen.
All right. All right. Let me keep on going. Amen. Brother and sister, that's what you are. Glory to God. Notice how God did not move Israel or let her go into the promised land until it was his own appointed time. Now, the people might have put pressure on Joshua, the leader, and said, the land is ours. Let's go and take it. Joshua, all through. You must have lost your commission. You don't have the power you used to have. You used to hear from God and know the will of God and act quickly. Something is wrong with you. But Joshua was a God-sent prophet, and he knew the promises of God. So he waited for them. This is a problem with a lot of people. They just, man, they ready to move. But no, wait. You got to wait. You got to wait. While you're waiting, God is forming your character, right? It says he waited for a clear-cut decision from God. And when the time came to move, God placed the full leadership in Joshua's hand because he had stayed with the word. God could trust Joshua, but not the others. So it will repeat in this day. The same problem, the same pressures. Take the example we see in Moses, this mighty anointed prophet of God. Had a peculiar birth, being born at the right time. Brother Branham also had a peculiar birth. You had a peculiar birth, right? It says, being born, amen, at the right time for the deliverance of Abraham's seed from Egypt. He never stayed in Egypt to argue scripture with them, nor fuss at the priests. He went to the wilderness until the people were ready to receive him. God called Moses to the wilderness. The waiting was not on Moses' part. Amen. But because of the people who were not ready to receive him, Moses thought the people would understand, but they did not. Look at this. Then there is Elijah, to whom the word of the Lord came, and this is the angel writing this to us, the angel telling this to us through Brother Branham being the scribe. He says, "Then there is Elijah, to whom the word of the Lord came when he got through preaching the truth." And that group back there that is the forerunner of the American Jezebel group would not receive the word. God called them off the field and plagued that generation for rejecting the prophet and the message that God had given. God called them to the wilderness, and he would not come out even for the king. Those who tried to persuade him to do so died. But God spoke to his faithful prophet by vision. Out of hiding, he came and brought back the word to Israel. Now, we want to stop there in this because here God calls Elijah to the wilderness. And I need to just show you a couple things. You know, you don't move until God actually moves you.
Yeah.
You don't do anything unless God does it. Elijah was a major prophet. The spirit of Elijah is actually being used five times in scripture. The anointing of that was on Elijah comes five times. It came in Elijah. It came on Elisha. It came on John the Baptist. It came on William Branham. And it's coming back on Elijah again as a witness to Israel. The two witnesses will be Moses and Elijah. Now, the Bible does not say Moses and Elijah, but the reason that I can say that is because in the Bible, it gives their ministries. Hallelujah. When you read about them two witnesses, look at the ministries. You'll see that the ministry of Moses and the ministry of Elijah. Yeah. Glory to God. That's how we know who it is. We ain't got to guess no more. Look at the ministries. It's right there in the scripture. Now, this ministry was used of God. But this ministry could not do anything until God told it to do it. I want y'all to see some things here in scripture, things that I didn't even catch before. He said, God called him to the wilderness, and he plagued that generation because they didn't receive it. Now, what the big thing that happened, 1 Kings 18 is where Elijah has this tremendous God that answers by fire, let him be God. But you know, when Elijah was going down there amongst Ahab, it wasn't really just to call down fire. He was actually going to bring rain back to the people. Amen. Because he told him earlier, it won't be any rain here till I call for it. God gave him a vision to go and call for the rain. Here, Ahab, after a mighty demonstration of fire coming down and consuming the altar, and now he sees Elijah go and tell his servant, go up now, go up now. Go. Man went up seven times and said, I don't see nothing. He said, but I do see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, man, y'all better get ready. It's about to rain. I don't care how little, amen, that move is that you see and that God do, get ready. Something getting ready to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Get ready. Something getting ready to change in your situation. I don't care how little it might be. Hey, hallelujah. I don't care how small it might be. You might as well get ready.
Amen.
Maybe you only got a dollar, but it's more coming where that came from. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Maybe you've been going through some tremendous sickness and you just begin to feel just a little bit better. That's the cloud the size of a man's hand.
Amen.
Get ready for great things.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Say, man, y'all better get ready. It's getting ready to rain. And that's why Elijah was there. Now, they had this mighty demonstration. Rain coming. Mighty demonstration of fire falling. But their hearts didn't turn. Hearts didn't turn. Supernatural all over the place, but their hearts didn't turn. And so they rejected the revealed word for the day. Plague happened. Now, what we pick up in the rest of the scripture, because I can we read 1 Kings 19. I'm going to come back to that. Maybe not. Let me just hit that just real quick right now. Notice when we read 1 Kings 19, Elijah's in this cave running from Jezebel. He said, Lord, I'm the only one standing. Ain't nobody else standing. I'm the only one here. God had the encouragement. I got 7,000 that ain't bowed. He said, when he told him to go out, here we have this great wind shaking the mountain. The Bible said God was not in the wind. Then we had this earthquake. And everybody want to watch the earthquakes. But the Bible said God was not even in the earthquake. Hallelujah. And then we had fire. Now, wait, that just caught my attention. Didn't he just have fire in the chapter before? But the Bible said God was not in the fire. Sometimes God is trying to get you to move from what you had in the past. Yes, God moved like that before, but he wanted to do something different now. And if you're not careful, you'll limit God to what he used to do and miss what he's doing right now. He was not in the fire. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the wind.
Amen.
The Bible says it was a still small voice. And this is where people are missing it. Look, when I follow this message, that's why I say it's going to take more than a bear and a bridge and all that. I'm not looking at all them things. I'm looking at the word that was revealed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at this. They rejected the word, and the prophet is called into the wilderness. Now, I read the verse there
let's see here, in 1 Kings 19, and let's pick this up again. Verse 14 and 15. It said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness. So God is calling the prophet to the wilderness, off the scene, to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. And he gives him some instructions in the other verses. But the main thing I want you to see, God is calling his prophet into the wilderness. And he's not moving until God actually releases him. I want y'all to see some things that happen. 1 Kings 20, Israel actually defeats the army of Syria. And, you know, when they defeated Syria, it was here the king of Syria was actually given right into Ahab's hands, and Ahab let the man go. So there was a prophet that rose up. It wasn't Elijah. It was another prophet. Another prophet rises up and he says, he walks up to a man and says, smite me. The man say, hit a prophet? No, not me. God forbid that I would hit a prophet. Okay, because you didn't hit me, you're going to get ate up by a lion. So I think another fellow was standing there and watching everything that just happened. And the prophet ran up to him and said, smite me. That fellow rare act. Wham! Hit the prophet, gave him a black eye. Prophet went and found the king and said, you know, look, you let this man go and you did this, you did that. Say, now that man coming, he's going to take your life. Prophesy. See, plague getting ready to strike. Because when plague strike, people start losing their lives. Right? So here the plague. So now because you let him go, he's coming back and he's going to take you out. You're going to die because you let him go. Told Ahab this. Now, another thing that happened after this is the plot to kill Naboth and take his vineyard. This was after they rejected the prophet. Even they reject the revealed word that was coming through the prophet. Here, they had a great manifestation of the God that answered by fire, and God answers by fire, and now they reject it, and look at what happens to them. Now they want to take Naboth's vineyard. And Jezebel and her scheme, what kind of woman was that? Lied and signed letters in her husband's name and told him, you don't need to be crying about this. We're going to get to raise up some vile men, what we call men of Belial, and had them lie on Naboth, and they took the man's vineyard, had him killed to take his vineyard. Lies were told, and they took this man's vineyard. And while Ahab is rejoicing, God tells the prophet, leave the wilderness and go meet Ahab. Hallelujah. Let's pick this up. I want to read this prophecy. Amen. This is 1 Kings 21, verse 19, I believe. Let's start at 17. Now, God only speaks to his prophet when he speaks to him and sends him out when he wants him to go. He calls him to the wilderness, then sends him out, and then he calls him right back. Man, it takes some training. It takes some training to be able to hear the voice of God. Because there's things that you know that could happen that you want to get involved in. Oh, God, I know that's right. There's things that happen. How many sons of God just wanted to get involved in COVID-19? I'm talking about sons of God that wanted to stand out and say, I spoke to it. I did it. God ain't moving like that. Woo. Hallelujah. Maybe you can speak to it for your family. Get that devil off your family, but the judgment got to strike. God got to get somebody's attention. Amen. Glory to God. Look at this. 1 Kings 21 says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Here's a prophecy that's given to this man because of what he just did with Naboth. He couldn't blame him and say, that was my wife that did that. No, you rejoicing.
and you're going to suffer for what you allowed your wife to do. God brought a prophecy again. Now God sends the prophet right back off the scene, back into the wilderness. Now watch this. The next chapter, this plague is striking. People are going to lose their lives. Ahab wants to go to battle. And when he wants to go to battle, he asks Jehoshaphat to come join him. And Jehoshaphat say, "You got any prophets around here?" He said, "Yeah, we got 400 of them." They all come out and they prophesy. And the problem is every one of them tell the exact same prophecy. And Jehoshaphat say, "Now, and usually somebody going to say something a little different, but 400 prophets say the exact same thing, something wrong somewhere." Do you know who God sent for? I mean, who they sent for? They sent for Micaiah. He asked, "Was there any other prophets?" He got Micaiah. Can I tell y'all something? Elijah was still living. Elijah was still living. Why didn't he go get Elijah? He knew what was going to be said. But Micaiah, being a God-sent prophet, picked up on the same prophecy that Elijah gave, that Ahab, your blood going to be licked by dogs. That's why Micaiah come and say, "Look, I know all these guys have said this." And one guy said, "Look, you just say the same thing we said." He said, "I ain't going to say nothing but what the Lord tell me to say." Mm-hmm. Got down there, and Ahab say, "We want to go to this battle. What you think?" "Oh, go on up. The Lord going to bless you." "Go on up." Ahab say, "Now, I told you, you only tell me what God say. Oh, you really want to hear what God got to say?" All right. He says, "I tell you what I saw in a vision. Is that there were some spirits that came before the throne of God. A lying spirit. Say, I will go down and get in the mouth of his prophets and make them all prophesy a lie, and they'll believe the lie, and it'll cause your word to come to pass." Here, and he's saying, "What I see is Israel scattered with no shepherd." Ahab said, "I told you he was going to prophesy evil against me. The other 400 said we should go. I'm going to go on out. I'm going to disguise myself in the battle. I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to do all that." And lo and behold, when he got there to the battle, they was only looking for the king. Jehoshaphat was dressed as a king, but he started yelling like somebody else. He wasn't yelling like no king. He was yelling like he was afraid. And they say, "Well, he can't be the king doing all that." So some guy pulled a bow just out of nowhere, shot Ahab, took him back, and he died right in the spot where the prophet told, where Elijah told him he was going to die, and the dogs were going to lick his blood. He went back to fulfill that. See, a plague strikes when you reject the word. Amen. Why didn't they call Elijah? Why was it Micaiah? There was another prophet in the land. See, that prophet couldn't even come. God did not even send him to Ahab when it was time to go to battle. Elijah didn't come try to stop it. Elijah did not get in God's way. I told you, it takes some character to understand how to do the will of God. Elijah did not get in God's way when it's time for the word of God to be fulfilled. Can I tell y'all something? As a bride of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to learn not to get in God's way when it's time for his promises to be fulfilled. Amen. I don't care how much power we got. I don't care how much anointing we got. Don't get in God's way when it's time for his word to be made manifest. They saw all these great things, but because they rejected the word, death began to settle in. Many other prophecies begin to be manifested, and I feel like the same thing is happening today. People rejecting the word, and we're seeing all kind of stuff settle in. But I just believe God's going to bring us through all this, too. I believe he's going to do that. Let's look at a couple quotes, and we'll just bring this to a close. Amen on today. Hallelujah. Be careful about rejecting the revealed word in your day. Your day. I want to read from "What Hearest Thou, Elijah?" I'm going to read paragraph E17, and then I'm going to skip down to paragraph E25. Amen. From "What Hearest Thou, Elijah?" Look at this. It says, "So what happened? It called them together, and the God of heaven answered in a supernatural sign to Israel. And he was still the God that could answer by fire.
And he did just what he always did, answered prayer, kept his word. And after all of this, still it wasn't sufficient. And little old Elijah, he didn't know what to do, so he ran to the juniper tree. Amen. He says, I'm glad that there is a juniper tree. All God's people needs to go to that juniper tree. It's a place where he was so discouraged, he didn't know what to do. So he ran out to himself and got under the juniper tree. Many of us feel like going there. And today when we see the institutions filled with people of God, nervous breakdowns, tension, it makes all of us want to run to the juniper tree. Juniper tree is where you can go and get some strength from God. He'll supernaturally, provide you strength. So I told you, supernatural came and the people still was not moved by the supernatural. The same thing today. You be sharing this testimony, that testimony. People not be moved. They got to have something on the inside greater than the supernatural. Amen. That'll cause them to identify with this word. Let's look at this in paragraph E-25. Same message. He says, I'm so glad that there is a juniper tree. When we get all wore and tore up, we can go under that juniper tree and find spiritual vitamins to travel any kind of a trip. There he laid, woke up feeling a little better. And he went 40 days and 40 nights. I'd imagine if there's a doctor listening in, wouldn't you like to know what kind of a vitamin he used that'll keep a man on a corn cake and a glass of water for 40 days and 40 nights? That's the power of our God. Then he finds a cave way back in the wilderness, and the first thing you know, God found him back in there, and he called to him, and there went a rushing wind through that tore up the mountain. The rocks rent and fell down. Elijah just sat and listened. And there came a shaking, an earthquake that shook the mountain. But Elijah just sat still. And then come the fire fell. Lightning flashed. And Elijah sat still. But then a still small voice spoke. And Elijah answered. He wrapped his mantle over his face and walked out. I just wonder that if we haven't listened too much to rushing mighty winds and fire and blood and everything else, and have failed to hear that still small voice. Wonder if we've looked so much to gifts that we can't see the giver. You know, America's prone for noise. That's the reason rock and roll is so popular and all those other lots of noises. Now we've had rushing mighty winds. We've had great shakings. But where has God been in all of it? Elijah said he was not in it. What did we do with the rushing winds? What have we done with all kinds of sensations? Where has it got us? Denominated so tight that we won't give fellowship one to another. What have we done it by? What have we done by it? Is the church better off? Is it unified by rushing winds? No, sir. It's only unified when them people will hear that still small voice of God. That's where we're failing, friends. When God appears on the signs with something and proves himself to be God, instead of going after the noise, let's go after the one that made the noise. We forget the giver. Just reminds me of a story I heard, an auction that took place. And it was a man, very wealthy man, and had some really, really nice paintings that he made. And, after he passed away, he was going to sell all these paintings and everything. And he had one real, real ugly painting. It's a painting of his son. And this one, nobody wanted. So, the auctioneer brought the son out first, the picture of the son, and said, who would give me any money for this? So I'm like, ain't nobody giving you nothing for that. That ain't worth nothing. We don't want that. Let's get on with the auction. Please leave that one out. I said, no. We got to auction this one first. Who's going to give me something for it, And, man, we told you we don't want that. Just please get on with the auction. Just nobody wants it. It's an ugly painting, and that's not why we're here. We want these other ones. That's the real business. I say, well, we're not going to get on to that till somebody buys this one first. So one guy said, I give $10. Say, $10 going once, $10 going twice, $10 going three times. I said, sold to the man right here for $10.
It said, not an auction is closed. Auction is closed? We came here for this and we came here for that. I said, no, the auction is closed. What happened? It says, well, it was in the will that whoever bought the son could have everything else. Hallelujah. I hope we'll take Christ.
Amen.
I hope we'll take the Son of God, because everything else comes in that package. Hallelujah. Every gift, every power, every anointing comes in that package if we'll just take Christ. The living Christ, the living word, the revealed word for our day. And so I want to encourage you, look into the scripture. Find out where you stand, where you living at. You're not living back in the days of Moses. You're not living back in the days of Noah. You're not living even back in the days of the first coming of the Lord Jesus, but you are living in the days where you can expect his second coming. What scriptures are associated with that second coming? What things are God going to do? What things that has he promised to do? Find out where that is being manifested. Then you'll know how to walk. You won't go from church to church. You'll find the people that have come from God, and they're going back to God. Don't reject the revealed word for your day. Let's pray. Father, we are people that realize this is a very important hour in which we live. Things are happening so fast around us. Prophecies are being fulfilled, and just trying to go back there in scripture and show how they rejected Elijah after a tremendous manifestation. God here, after rejecting plague struck, death set in. Ahab lost his life. Jezebel lost her life. Different people, Lord, just even Ahab's son, he lost his life. Plague set in on his feet. God, and I just realize how important it is, and just trying to see these types of scripture. God, I don't want us to miss it in this hour. We get so wrapped up, Satan just kind of throw all kind of things in our path, but Lord, we don't want to miss it. The rapture's at hand. The day is drawing to a close. The second coming of the Lord is upon us even right now. Pray, God, that you just open up our understanding, give revelation, God, to those that need it. We look up and ask God for it. And God, those hurts that people have, and they don't know where to turn, they don't know where to go. God, I pray that you would send them into the right place, Lord. They could be ministered to. Can't apologize for some of the things that have happened in the past, God, but we know we can pick up and move forward. God, I just pray that you would help the people to find the healing that they need. Your word will bring the healing. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come close us out. Your majesty, help me to be still and know that you're in this place. Oh, please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Sing that again as we stand to our feet.
is to be with you. Said a lot between the two services, you know, and just sitting back and listening, just beginning to see how the past 3 weeks and from different ministers, how everything has been tied together. And Brother Kwaku speaking on this morning about the theophany, and he spoke on that 2 weeks ago. And then Brother Jack came and kind of did a part two of what's our title of the message again? Rejecting the Word. Amen. And the Lord laid on my heart the great deception, seeing that how he's speaking to somebody. Amen. It's not a group of people, somebody he's speaking to. Don't be deceived in this hour. Don't allow the enemy, don't reject him. Don't reject him in this hour. And it's not always going to be right there at face value. Everybody take what I can see with my eyes. He brought out how we're looking for a supernatural. The greatest miracle is a revelation of the word. The greatest miracle. What good would it do you for him to open your blinded eyes naturally, or unstop deaf ears, or even give you a new limb if you reject the word for your day? You just walk into hell with two good legs. I'd rather walk into glory with a bad leg. I'd rather limp into glory than walk into hell healthy. I say that again. I'd rather limp into glory than walk into hell healthy. Amen? So we got to put things in the right perspective and put them in their right place. The greatest thing in this hour is a revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the hour we're living in. Amen. A revelation of the word of who he is. Don't reject him in this hour. Don't be deceived in this hour by what your eyes see. But ask God to reveal to you the secret things. Amen. That you may look beyond this natural realm and look over into the unseen. Amen. To see what God is really doing in this hour. We've seen over the years a lot of put on. We've seen a lot of guessing, a lot of people being led by their flesh, led by what they can see carnally. But we want to be led by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be led by the Spirit of God in this hour. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart, Lord God, for allowing our pastor to get himself out of the way, Lord, and speak these words, oh Father God, how he just yielded himself, Lord God. Lord God, been a long day, Lord, with the two services and things, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you renew his strength. What a dedication, oh Father God. Lord God, to just yielding himself, oh Father God, to the Spirit of God. Lord, even if there was one in here, Lord God, I believe he would just preach just as hard. Lord God, for we're crying out to the people, oh Father God, crying out, oh Lord God, that people can hear your word, oh Father God, that a seed be planted, oh Father God, into a prepared soil, oh Father. I believe, Lord, within the sound of the voice, or whether it be along the airways, oh Father God, or within this room, oh Father God, there's a prepared ground, oh Father God. And the word of God has went forth, and Lord God, you do the increase, oh Father God. The seed has been planted, oh Father. Now, Lord, we're depending on you, oh Father God, to water it. May it just lay in the sunlight, Lord God. Lord, he quoted from the message, harvest time, Lord God. May it just lay in the presence of the sun and become ripened, oh Father God. It's like he said that even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of the storm, oh Father God, in the midst of COVID, Lord God, we still bear fruit. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you for calling me, oh Father God. Thank you for calling us, oh Lord God, to this marvelous message, oh Father God. Lord, as we prepare to leave this place and close out this service, Lord God, we ask you, oh Lord God, as we carry out our daily task, oh Father God, throughout the week, Lord, make us salty, oh Father God. Lord God, for you said if the salt loses savor, Lord God, we don't want to lose our savor, Lord God. We want to make others thirsty. May our lives and our actions, from that others see, oh Father God, make them thirsty, oh Father God. So what is it about you? Why in the midst of a pandemic you have so much joy? Why in the midst of a pandemic there's no fear? Another opportunity, oh Father God, to plant seed, Lord God. But we all have a job to do, Lord God. May we call, oh Father God, the family home to get into the household of faith. So, Lord God, you can call us away, oh Father God. We be with you, oh Father. We ask these mighty blessings in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You prepare to dismiss. Amen. And the brothers prepare. As he was saying, to remember that maybe sometime this week there will be a message going out over, I don't know if over WhatsApp or probably the new church app. But just keep an eye out on the new plan for a soft opening, I would guess you would call it. We're trying to, as the state sort of opens up, we would love to get back to a sense of normalcy. However normal looks like, we don't know what normal looks like anymore, because it'll probably be a new normal. Amen. So, but just keep everybody in your prayers. Amen. Y'all pray for one another. Amen. Pray for the ministry that we make the right decision. Amen. And hopefully within the coming weeks we'll be able to get back to having the one service and having everybody in the service that would like to be in the service. Amen. We'd like to wish Sister Samaya once again a happy birthday coming. And God bless you, my brother. Glad you can be with us. Look forward to seeing you again. Amen. I hope something was said to stir your hearts.